Hello and welcome to This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul. I'm Lee, Minivan Lee, on YouTube and all other social platforms.
And I'm Paul. This is so much more than a podcast, Lee. It's an audio film, a documentary about life, including the nomad lifestyle that's sweeping America.
Hey friends, we have a fabulous, fun episode for you tonight.
So let's get started.
Hello everyone and welcome to This Nomad Life. I'm Minivan Lee of YouTube, Minivan Lee. Please search for me and subscribe. I've got videos about how to live as a nomad. I've been a nomad for 5 years, and I've got instructions, and I've just got entertainment and good, clean fun for you on my YouTube channel.
And I'm Paul. I've been on the road for 7 months now and enjoying every bit of it. Well, there might be a time or two when a fly was driving me crazy or 10 of his brothers. But anyway, basically, I'm loving it, moving from here to there and experiencing different things, and it's truly wonderful.
I bet you make a lot of friends along the way too, don't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. Yes. As a matter of fact, that's how Lee and I met out on the desert when I saw her and kind of recognized her, or at least thought that I did. So after a while, I got up the courage to walk over and say, "Hey, aren't you Minivan Lee?" After a little bit of small talk, of course. But of course, she said she was, and we formed a wonderful friendship based on that good start.
We have. We are in Tucson right now. Oh my gosh. It's hot here. We went, Paul, from winter to summer in a 4-hour time.
That's true. And we also went from summer in Quartzsite to winter in Flagstaff in 4 hours or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just depends where you go, the kind of weather you're looking for. You can find it. It's not that far away. Of course, Flagstaff is a higher altitude than either Quartzsite or...
We're in Tucson.
Of course, Flagstaff is a higher altitude than either Quartzsite or Tucson, so that makes a whale of a difference.
And what do you think of Tucson so far?
I love it. It's beautiful. The mountains that surround Tucson are absolutely gorgeous. They look very, what should I say, majestic and very tall. I don't know what their height is. But,
yeah. But now, the mountains that you're over here are the Catalina Mountains.
Catalina.
We have like 5 mountain ranges that surround the city.
And that provides lots of beauty, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And as far as driving around town, I haven't done much of that yet, but I'll get used to it. I'll find my way around, and I'm sure some of that will be due to the help of Google Maps.
Oh no, Google already put you... Google took him, oh my gosh. It tried to take me, but I knew the area, so I didn't... But he didn't see that he didn't see me turn. He got kind of stuck downtown on a one-way... Oh my God, downtown? Oh yeah.
It was... Fortunately, it was a Sunday, and the traffic wasn't that terrible. If it had been a weekday, I would have been in some trouble. Nothing that I couldn't have gotten out of.
I called him, Paul, where are you? No, you called me, or somebody called somebody. And I'm like, well, I don't know, where are you? What does the next sign say? It's finally you got to the right place.
You figured out where I was and said, oh, okay, that'll get you here eventually.
But well, one of the deals was that the park we were going to has different entrances. So that's why it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, Lee, let's talk some more about friends and making friends and friendships. And it's tough out there. I came to Quartzsite 3 years in a row to spend a bit of time in the winter. I came from Michigan, so I wanted to get out of the snow and I wanted to see some of the beautiful Southwest. And it can be tough. I mean, I was alone except for my dog, Abby. It can be tough out there. You're kind of intimidated, at least I was. Boy, can I walk up to that Class A sitting there, and can I walk up to that Class C or another van or whatever? And folks, all you have to do is get up the gumption that you're just going to go over. I don't know that I would necessarily pound on the door, but I'd shout from a little bit of a distance to, "Hey, is there anybody home?" You know, something like that, and then carry it from there. I would assume familiarity. assume that, I mean, and that's easy to do, because whoever you see that's camping near you, whether it's out in the desert or here in the city in Tucson or wherever, you've got something in common. And it makes a bond, and it's something that you should build on. If you're really formal and not just easygoing, that can build a barrier to friendship and emotional intimacy. You know, that incredibly charismatic person that makes you feel like you've known him for 10 years, always smiling, and even though this person's only spoken to you once, one way to accomplish that is the same effect as to act as if you'd known that person for ages. Because, as I say, we are friends out here. Everybody wants to help everybody. You'd be amazed. I have looked at some of the entries into a group that is formed on Facebook called Meet in Queue, I think it is. And it's amazing. Somebody can call out for help. How do I do this? Where do I go? What should I do? And it just shows you the friendship bond that people that are traveling and enjoying the nomad life, what kind of a bond they have. We've seen the very same thing on Minnie Van Lee's Facebook group. If someone says, boy, I don't know how to do this, I'm half lost and I'm scared to death and I can't find a place to park and what do I do? I bet we had, 15, 20 different responses from people trying to help that gal.
We did.
And it was fantastic. It just goes to show you that if you reach out for help and if you are familiar and just act like we're old friends, that will help immensely.
Well, statistic-wise, as you get older, it's harder and harder to make actual friends. Making friends is statistically low as we get older. The bulk of our friends that we make for life happen in childhood, in high school, and in college, and maybe early on in working in a company. But after that, it gets harder and harder. Now, the way our society works these days is we're very transient. We may get transferred. Your whole family gets transferred. You may take on a job after your college days, and you're going to transfer to another city. So we move around so much, going from bricks and sticks, not just as nomads, but we may decide, well, I want to live in the Southwest, is what I did when I was younger, and I lived in Ohio, but I came out here. I left a lot of my familiar friends behind.
I bet.
And family. So what I have found in a city such as Tucson that is more transient, people are more willing to make friends with you because they're also transient. So people smile at each other more, as opposed to maybe on the East Coast. A lot of people I found that are on the East Coast, they have lived there all their lives, aunts and uncles, grandparents, great-grandparents, children, people that they graduated with. They're not as willing to open up to new friends because they've already got enough. You can only have so many friends.
That's
they say,
sure.
What is it? There's a limit on maybe really good friends, maybe 4 or 5 really good friends that you
right.
can call friends.
Right. But you know, talking about that and how do I get a relationship going with someone, there's one key word, smile.
Yes.
What is more welcoming than someone that walks up with a big smile on their face? It's like honey to a fly. It's a wonderful way to let people know that you're friendly and approachable. By smiling, you can make them understand that you're a person that's always happy and you're thrilled with what you're doing.
Now, what as a nomad, you know, we have to remember what Jim Morrison said. People are strange when you're a stranger. And I have found, you know, at first it can be like that. You just feel like you're strange and people look strange. But what about, Paul, the person who is a little bit more introverted? What advice do you give them?
I think you put that smile on your face and rustle up your confidence and walk up to someone.
Now, if you live in a house, do you just walk up to somebody, a grocery store?
Well, it could be the same kind of thing. If you see your neighbor out cutting the lawn,
yes,
or shoveling snow, whatever.
Right.
If you see your neighbor when you're boondocking somewhere, parked, if you approach either of those with a smile on your face, I think you'll be very pleased with the results.
Very good, yes. Especially if we're out boondocking or what I call urban nestling.
Right.
We talk to a lot of people. I don't know if I'd call them my friends, but when we were at the beach, we would talk to people here and there.
Right.
And in fact, we did make a friend, Rebel.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's funny, folks. I have to tell a secret on Lee here. Which Cracker Barrel were we at? We stayed at two different ones.
I know it. Where was it? I forget. It was
Well, it doesn't matter, but we were in a Cracker Barrel. We were going to spend the night there, and we have not yet found a Cracker Barrel that will not allow overnight RV parking in their parking lot.
It was in Phoenix. I think that's where you...
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Well, we walked into this Cracker Barrel, and we were going to get something to eat, so we went up to the hostess station. Actually, Lee went up there. And they call out your name, and they hope that you go shop in their nice little gift shop while you're waiting for your table to be available. And Lee told the hostess, the hostess said, "What name should I call?" And she said, "Well, Lee, Minivan Lee." So when our table was ready, I hear over the loudspeaker, "Minivan Lee, your table is ready." A party of two or whatever.
Yes.
And then we got to talking to the waitress, and she was a very cute young lady. And Lee said, "Now, when you bring our orders, would you mind if I filmed you?" And the girl kind of, you know, she was taken a little bit aback. She said, "Why? What do you want to do that for?" And Lee explained that she had a YouTube channel, and it was going to be on the video. And right away, her face brightened up, and she said, "Oh, that would be fine, you know.
Yes.
You'll make me a star. Go ahead."
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun.
So, but I'm more of an extrovert. I enjoy going up to people and just, I act as if I am a little familiar with them, and they don't seem to mind it.
Well, look what happened with those three young fellows in the same restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. These guys, what do you think? They were early teens, mid-teens maybe?
They were, yes. I think they probably just were tipping into the teen world.
Well, she explained to them, they saw her holding her camera, and they said, "Well, what are you doing? What's that for?" And she explained about her YouTube channel, and boy, they all of a sudden, they started, two of the three started really acting, you know, and playing with toys that they had. And
I know.
And she said, "Now, make sure to watch next Tuesday, because you guys are going to be on my YouTube channel." And boy, they said, "What's the name again?" And before you know it, you know how the teens are with social media. Before you know it, a couple of those guys had brought up her YouTube channel on their phones. She said, "So you guys make sure to tune in next Tuesday." And I hope they did. We didn't hear anything from them.
Right. I like to talk to people. Actually, people fascinate me. So I don't mind talking to them. And I believe that if you have an attitude that everybody is worthy, everybody is special. And if you can treat people and make them feel special in some way, you can really get a friendship, at least start warming it up so that it possibly could end up being a friendship. Now, I don't think that I'm going to be friends with those boys or anybody in the Cracker Barrel, but that is the technique to use to approach other people.
Sure.
Like at a party or at a gathering or at a meetup in Quartzsite as a nomad. Oh, I knocked over his bottle, drinking bottle. We're in his, by the way, we're in Paul's Ram ProMaster.
That's right.
And this is our studio. And
Lee, I must explain. You said my drinking bottle? This this bottle is full of water, folks. It's full of water, I swear to you. I can't prove it, but I'm telling you, it's full of water.
It really is. I won't go into there, but I was going to say, sure. But no, it is. And so
Lee, I want to, excuse me, I just want to, again, about approaching people, just tonight, and I'm not going to say exactly where we are because that's not a good idea, but the fellow pulled in a regular size van, a full size van, but he pulled in and he got out and he came walking up to where we're parked, and I was sitting in the driver's seat, and he said, "Is there any problem parking overnight here?" And I said, "Well, I hope not, because the vehicle next to me and I am planning to park here." But I said, "No, you won't have any problem to stay here overnight." And he said, "Oh, okay." He said, "I might be here as long as 2 days." Sure. And so, you know, it wasn't much of a conversation, but there you go. I mean, it was just Nomad helping Nomad.
Right. One of the ways that you can help flourish a friendship is to take the lead. You want to take a lead. Well, I took the lead in the Cracker Barrel, and you want to approach people and just be nice and just, you know, talk to them. But if you meet somebody that you think, wow, possibly this might end up being a friendship, you exchange phone numbers. Well, guess what? Once a week, you need to take the lead and call them up and say, and it's not a date, so you don't have to be nervous about it. But what you do is you say, "Hey, let's go get a bite to eat. Mm-hmm. Let's go get some coffee.
Sure.
Hey, do you want to go shopping at the mall? You know, I could use, you know, somebody to kind of talk to while I go, and we could just walk around and maybe get a bite to eat at the food court." But if you do that once a week, oh my gosh, you're going to end up having so much fun.
I think that's exactly true. And something to keep in mind when you do get together with someone and have a conversation, make that conversation meaningful. You know, it's one thing to say, standing in line at the grocery store, "Hey, it sure was hot today," or "Do you think it'll rain?" or, you know, talk about the weather or whatever. But when you're trying to form a friendship with someone, make that conversation meaningful. Because if you open yourself up to deeper conversations, that person's going to learn about you, and hopefully they'll like what they learn and go from there.
Well, another thing with conversation is be vulnerable. Express something or tell a story about something that will make you seem a little vulnerable. Not some goofball or anything, or a fool, but, you know, something that, you know, you kind of goofed on, and or something that maybe you don't understand. People find vulnerability very charming.
I think that tells them that you're human just like they are, and that helps them to appreciate and be more friendly to
exactly.
you, I would say.
Yes. And another thing too, oh my gosh, being positive. People like to be around positive people.
Absolutely.
And if that person that you're trying to, you know, build a friendship with, because friendships just don't just happen overnight, it takes a little time. If they are a very negative person, I really don't know if I would even pursue that.
Right.
Unless you want to take them on as a mentor and you want to teach them to be more positive, but somebody negative might end up being a little toxic to you. So not only do you want to make friends, but you want to make the right friends.
Yeah, and I mean, strike up a conversation. You're getting into a friendship with someone and you find that it's just not working. Well, don't be afraid to walk away from it. That's okay. That's real life. That's what happens.
Yes. Another way is to share meaningful experiences with that person. After you take the lead, you might go to a movie, but what if you actually go do something like go explore a cave together? Or, I mean, if that's something that you both want to do, find something meaningful to do, a museum or a 10K walk for a good cause or
right,
something like
right.
that. Yeah.
It's good if you make people feel special. Everybody wants to feel special, and everybody longs to be special to someone. It makes someone feel very good. If you make your friends a priority, they'll do the same for you. I know that you can count on it. If you show them that you need them and are there for them, they're going to reciprocate and show you the same kind of confidence. A good friendship can blossom.
I feel like I have a lot of friends on my YouTube channel. There have been people who have followed me for the past almost 2 years.
Wow.
And they will say how wonderful I am. They will make me feel very special. But I like to reciprocate that back, and I do feel like we're friends with them, is that I will make them feel special by saying, actually, you are encouraging to me when you tell me that I did this right or this was a lot of fun to do. It encourages me. So we can encourage each other. Making other people feel special is so important.
It certainly
is. If you want to grow a friendship.
And one thing you might want to pay attention to is, how does that other person handle private information that you might share with them?
Right.
If they become a broadcast outlet for something that went wrong or something that happened or something you're not very proud of, well, you got to be a little bit judgmental there and say, oh, maybe this isn't the person that I thought it was, and
right,
maybe this friendship shouldn't go on.
Well, friendships do take time, and I think we need to understand that we don't want to just grab the first person off the street and say, hey, let's be friends. Those things, that they need to be tested just a little bit. But if you do want to make, if you really do want to make more friends, you want to have a more of a intimate circle in your life, well, what about friends of friends? If you like that person, I'll bet you might like their friends too.
That very well.
And so
could be.
Encourage them to bring a friend along so you could get to know them. You could really get a circle going.
That's right.
Yeah.
The community can grow.
Right.
Something else that is a clue as whether or not you want to make that person a friend of yours is, how do they respond and react to your triumphs? How do they respond and react to your failures? If there's some real compassion there, if they really can show you that they care, that just might be a person that you want to have a long-term friendship with.
Exactly. I know, shout out to Cindy, I was in California and I knew that she was in the Monterey area. Well, I just messaged her and I said, I'd like to meet you. I'd like to meet you, because she was always so goofy, and I'm kind of goofy, so she seemed like, I figured we could really become friends. And she, of course, she was so excited. She invited me into her home for the day. We had a lot of fun trying on wigs. She did get recently, she was ill. Her daughter became ill and she became ill. And I was just right there with her online. I can honestly say that Cindy and I now, I really consider her a close friend. She's in my inner circle of friends.
That's very cool.
And she gives me suggestions. I had mentioned in my last video when I was in Quartzsite, I kind of went downhill a little bit. I don't think I was drinking as much water as I should. And I felt like I was starting to get a UTI. Well, she was right on the case when she saw that video. She starts suggesting things, really good suggestions of things to get. She's always right there.
That's what friends are for, huh?
Yes. So our friendship is very budding. It's very much developing. And it's a lot of fun when that happens, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. So what else is there, Paul, that you want to just look out for when you're trying to develop a friendship with somebody?
I think you can get a pretty good idea of what kind of friendship you're going to have with a person by thinking about, how humble are they? Are they patient or compassionate? By knowing that kind of thing, see if you can meet each other's need. If it's someone that, I don't know, if it's someone that is complaining all the time, or, oh, woe is me, this kind of thing, maybe you don't want to handle that. And so maybe it's a time to not pursue that friendship any longer.
Well, meeting each other's needs, everybody's going to have different needs in a friendship. So one person might need a friend to talk to on the phone every night. To them, that's a friendship. But that's a little bit too much for you. Because, you know, friendships really do take time. They take work. Just like in a relationship, a romantic relationship, friendships take work. There's not, you know, you have to decide whether you want to put in the time. Because if you really want a friendship, you're going to have to put in some time. But some people might require more time than others.
Very
and
true.
So that might, is it a good match? And your needs might be your needs might be different. Your needs, their needs might be, I need somebody to vent with all the time. And you want to actually have more fun with your friends, not
exactly.
just.
Exactly.
And you want to build them up. Are they willing to build you up? Are they willing to laugh? You might want to have somebody to laugh with, but they might not be goofy enough, or they might not be like humor the same as you do. So.
Right. I mean, it's a matter of, can you mutually meet one another's needs?
Yes.
And if you find that that's the case, boy, that can be a great friendship that can last a lifetime.
Now, I know, Paul, you have a lot of lifelong friends that you went to school with, that you worked with. That's very admirable.
Well, I'm very happy that that's the case. No doubt about it. I have a very, very good friend who, shout out to Ike. Hey, Ike, how you doing, buddy? We've been together since I want to say we were 16 years old, in high school, both of us. And we've been friends a long, long, well, I'm 70, almost 74 now. So, you know, you can do the math. And that's a friendship that has been wonderful for a long, long time, for a lot of different reasons. But and there's a number of other people. And I guess, not to toot my own horn, but I guess, you know, I like to smile. I portray myself, I try to, as a happy and halfway well-adjusted person. And I think that comes across. And it makes people take notice, maybe. I sound like I'm blowing my own horn here. I don't mean to do that.
I don't think, in this day and age, I don't think that... I think we need to blow our own horn a little bit, and there's not, people don't find that offensive. I think, Paul, that's kind of a Midwestern thing.
Maybe so.
Yeah, don't talk about yourself. It's impolite to talk about yourself. I think that if you don't toot, I'm all for tooting my own horn. I don't mind doing it, but I'm willing to toot other people's horns too.
There you go.
You know, so. I think it's a two-way street. If you only just tooted your own horn, that would be... like, what an ego. What do you attribute, Paul, to having such a good connection with friends, lifelong friends?
Well, you mentioned that in today's world, people move a lot. I mean, I've got a sister in Montana, one in Arkansas, and one with a place in Florida, all over the country. But I think one of the reasons that I have made and kept good friends is because until the last 8 months or whatever, I've been in Michigan. And I was born and raised there and met people there, worked there my entire career. And I think that makes a difference. But I'm making friends now on the road, whether in Santa Cruz or... San Jose or Flagstaff.
Reno. Shout out to Melinda. We are very good friends with Melinda now.
Absolutely.
She texts today. How are you two doing? What are you doing? Where are you? She lets us know what's going on in Reno. Well, at least the temperature. And what she's doing. But yeah, we made a really good friend in Melinda. So we make them along the way.
It means so much. That's where the valuation comes in. If you really value a friendship with someone, you have to nurture it. You have to talk to them and listen to them. Those things that friends do, it makes all the difference in the world to keep that relationship going.
And one way that we, Paul and I, have kept the friendships that the people that we parked near, we actually called, we named our group. We have a group text, and everybody texts each other at least once every 2 days.
Oh,
where
yeah.
are you? And then once somebody says, where are you? Then they'll say, well, what's the temperature? What's the gas prices? Well, this is what I'm doing. And then we'll ask them, well, how are you doing there? Where are you at? Where are you staying? We have lifelong friends, Max, Joe, and Jack.
And it's so cool because all five of us are looking forward to being back together, if not sooner. Of course, we saw Joe and we saw Max
yes.
for a brief time just recently. But come quartzite time in January, we all five of us plan to be there, and I'm sure we'll be together, boondocking together out in the desert again. So it gives you something to look forward to, and they're good people, and it's just a very wonderful thing. I enjoy it very, very much.
Now, Mary, we made good friends with Mary. Mary's not. She likes to be solo a lot, and she's going to go in another direction this winter. But we text each other, and I do consider, shout out to Mary, she's my friend, and she's your friend, too. And you don't always have to be talking to them every week.
You're not joined at the hip, that's for sure.
Right, but we are going to be letting each other know our friendships is still in developing, and I would love to keep contact with Mary. She's so delightful, and mm-hmm. I just love who she is,
and very talented as well.
She is very talented, but she is one a solo. She's a tough gal. She just does her own thing, and she doesn't let anybody influence what she's doing. I love that. I love her independence. It seems to work for us because she doesn't require talking to me every minute, and I don't require talking to her every minute.
Well, you have much in common,
yes,
right?
We do. Now, we do have a meetup coming in our Facebook group where it's not an organized meetup. I don't know how many people are coming, right, Paul?
We don't have an exact count. We've got an idea, but we don't have an exact count. And it's still a number of months away, so it's a little soon to have an exact count. People don't know for sure what they're going to do in January or late January, February of next year. But I think it's going to be a great time with a pretty good-sized group of people.
And this is a time when everybody in the group can come, including you and I, and make new friends.
That's right.
Yes. I don't know how this is going to go, but it's going to be fun. We're around one night we are going to have a talent show around the campfire. What are we going to do, Paul?
Well, Leah's trying to rope me into doing some singing, I'm afraid. should I call it singing, Lee, or call a spade a spade?
Oh, no, you have a voice. He was choir boy in church.
makes me sound Catholic than I am. But
he was in the choir. In the Lutheran, well, not always Lutheran, but yeah.
Mostly,
yeah.
That's
but,
right.
Yeah. But in me, I'm still working on my voice, but I'm determined that I'm going to practice it. And when I do practice it the most, it's when we're traveling and I'm in the car alone and I'm belting it out big time.
Well, the thing is, I said she's trying to rope me into singing. She's actually trying to rope me into rapping. Haven't done a lot of rapping in my day, but we're going to give it our best shot.
I think it'll be fun. So the point of this meetup is to make new friends.
Absolutely.
Because so many people have mentioned that they're getting ready to be nomads. They've bought their minivans or whatever, their vans or high tops, and they want to possibly travel with other people. Well, I've had people ask me, well, I want to travel with somebody. I'm new out there. How do I do that? Well, that's not always easy because traveling two by two with somebody else can be a little bit tough because that person really doesn't, you don't know each other. There are so many styles of nomading out there that one person might want to go this way and be in a city, and the other person's like, are you kidding me? No, I want to go out boondocking on BLM land. I want to be out there.
Right.
One person might want to be on rocks. One person might want to be in dust and dirt. You just don't know.
And, yeah. I mean, one person might want to go see the Native American ruins that are 25 miles off the main road.
Right.
Not mentioning any names, but some people are just not into the tourist thing.
I would go see ruins. Where would they... what's this ruins thing that you speak of, sir?
I guess maybe we haven't talked about it.
I know.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
There's so much to see in Tucson. I'm not much. He's telling the truth. I'm not much of a tourist. As a nomad, I'm just trying to live my life out here. I just do it in a very small area, and I like to do things. I'm not much for, I must go see that museum. I must go see. No, I just give me a park so I can put on my blanket. I'd like to do my stretching now, please. And so that's kind of like how I nomad. But
one of the reasons we didn't spend tons of time, we didn't spend much time at all in Flagstaff. It just wasn't conducive to exercise and stretching and laying down in the grass. When it's 37 degrees outside, that's the last thing from your mind.
And the wind was blowing so hard.
Oh, yes, it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, like I'm going to go, and I was still recovering from being courtside thinking, Yeah, I just felt a little weak after courtside. It kind of sucked the life right out of me. Yeah. I'll say it. But yeah, so as a friend, you better have the same style. And you're not going to know that until you start meeting people. So my advice has always been to those who ask in the group to say, well, or on my YouTube channel, they'll post, I want to do this, but I want to find somebody to travel with. Well, I suggest you got to go solo first. Be brave and do it. I mean, you can do this. And then, if you're going to do it, then do it in the right season. Don't get started in the middle of summer, because the summertime for nomads is people scatter.
Right.
They go to their homes to see their family, or they try to go up higher elevation. And that's what our group did. We was like, where are you? Everybody scattered. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's kind of coming back. I see this as a pattern for nomads in the United States. This is what happens.
I agree. It's really interesting that one of the members of the Facebook group is getting together it's not a huge deal, I don't think, yet. So if I use the word caravan, that may make it sound like a bigger thing than it really is.
We've got a siren here, folks. We're in Tucson. Whoops. <it's... laughs> I told Paul about Tucson sirens.
It happens here.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's just like any other big city. But at any rate, isn't that cool that she's trying to get a group together, people that think, I don't want to travel from West Virginia to Quartzsite, Arizona by myself. So she's trying to say, okay, if you want to get together and travel as a group, let me know and I'll try to get things organized. Very cool.
What a gal.
I bet there's going to be some good friendships made on that journey from wherever they're from and wherever they wind up.
Because they can all support each other and protect each other and all work together in finding places to stop along the way.
Sure.
Whether it be Cracker Barrel or rest stop or at a pilot truck stop.
Absolutely.
I advocate pilot truck stops. Loves kicked me out one time. They woke me up in the middle of the night. I never forgave him for that,
nope,
I guess.
As but well yeah. You shouldn't.
Pilots are wonderful. Pilots and petrols.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode about friendships. I think it's important that we all become connected and flourish and continue on and grow our current friendships and define new friendships. Just like the autumn leaves are falling, if we kind of let ourselves, our masks down, and we become familiar with people and really put ourselves out there, I think we can start anew with new friendships.
I totally agree. So just remember, put that smile on your face and hold that hand out and be ready to grasp the hand of someone else. And I think you'll find that you can expand your world of friends, get a real benefit to your life.
Exactly. And I just appreciate your friendship, Paul. Well, and I love doing this on this Nomad Life podcast with you.
I do too. It's been something for me to get used to and learn about, and I'm still doing that, but it has been greatly.
Oh, you're an old pro at this already.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You've been in radio. I don't want to hear about it. Thank you, Paul, for doing this with me, and I appreciate it. And
it's my pleasure, Lee. Be cool. Yeah.